Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Mercedes CLA has dual charging ports, the Polestar V2G project down under that starts soon, and a campaign to fight misinformation. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show I'll tell you why Rivian is going on tour. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome back to EV News Daily. We are your trusted source of EV information for Tuesday, 19th of November. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Something like 800 stories in the last 24 hours that have come through. You know, a mix of all the EV websites, my RSS feeds, my Google alerts, my Google News keywords, and a million other places, and stuff that people send me. If you see an EV story that you'd like featured or you think would be interesting, you can always email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, Daimler Buses has unveiled the Mercedes-Benz e-Inturo, its first battery electric intercity bus to improve public transport between cities and rural areas. The e-Inturo has a range of 310 miles or 510 kilometres, making it suitable for longer routes and faster speeds than the city electric buses out there. It shares battery technology with the Mercedes-Benz eActros 600 trucks. Now, the eInturo has two battery pack options, each with a 207 kilowatt hour capacity. So one battery or two batteries for short trips, shuttles, excursions, and long distance transport as well. They'll charge at 300 kilowatts. You get a full charge in 90 minutes for the two packs and 70 minutes for the single pack. Over 95% of the battery capacity is usable, and they come with a 15-year lifespan as well. Daimler Buses is introducing new electronics with the e-Inturo, with over-the-air software updates even coming to buses these days, so they will stay on the road for longer. Now, CATL, the world's biggest EV battery maker, on November the 18th, talked more about their second-generation sodium battery set for release next year. The battery performs in temperatures down to minus 40 degrees Celsius. Incredible, with enhanced safety and low temperature resistance, but also better energy density. The company aims for over 200 watt-hours per kilogram. Mass production starts in 2027. Sodium-ion batteries work similarly to lithium-ion, using ion movement between electrodes for energy storage. They offer better safety and, as I've said, much better cold weather performance, but are less energy dense at the moment than lithium-ion batteries, despite being potentially cheaper. Current production costs are relatively higher because it's limited scale. When that scales up, they can get cheaper. Lower lithium prices also impacting the need to push forward with sodium technology. Not as quickly. BYD is working on reducing sodium-ion battery costs, aiming for the cost to be similar to lithium-ion phosphate batteries next year. And while sodium battery use is limited, Chery and JAC have already got that sodium batteries in passenger cars on sale in China right now. In January earlier this year, BYD started building out their brand new sodium-ion battery project with a 30 gigawatt hour a year capacity, producing batteries with 105 watt-hours per kilogram energy density, but that will go to 130 very soon. Staying with batteries, Northvolt, a battery cell maker experiencing financial troubles in Sweden, is considering applying for bankruptcy protection in the United States, according to this Reuters report which just came out. And that's cited two sources. And, you know, I kind of trust it when Reuters report with a dual-source story. You think, OK, I'll run with that for EV News Daily. The company is exploring this option as part of a broad strategy to avoid insolvency. Insolvency and Chapter 11 bankruptcy, very different things, of course, in the US. And the objective is still being to secure funding from investors. Negotiations have been difficult recently, but they continue. Should the discussions not lead to an agreement, Chapter 11 in the US could be an alternative. Northvolt has not made any public statements about possibly filing for bankruptcy, but has acknowledged that various options are under review. The company's financial challenges stem from cancelled orders, running at 25% of the yield. I think that they should be, or maybe actually it was maybe the capacity that they were predicted to be by the end of the year. BMW pulling out of their deal as well. That was worth, I think, 2 billion. I think it was 2 billion euros. I think I'll double check on that. All of these things exacerbating Northvolt's issues. What's the stat I read about Northvolt last week? Northvolt is the most well-funded tech startup in all of Europe. I want to say 15 or 16 billion. Billion has gone into it. And it could go upwards. Was it that? It was a lot of money. I might do a special on Northvolt. When am I going to get time to do specials? But still, yeah, I'll look into that and I'll get the exact number because it's very interesting. Now, Mercedes-Benz will release the CLA electric vehicle. And you know what? They're going to put dual charging ports on. One side NACS, the other side CCS1. Or rather, next to each other. Maybe it'll be under one flap. Who needs two flippy flappies when one big flippy flappy will do and you can put two charge ports underneath it? That's what they do in China, isn't it, after all? Mercedes-Benz introducing both combustion versions and the electric version of the CLA next year using the MMA, Mercedes-Benz modular architecture. So that'll suit both powertrains and they can dial it up and down according to what is selling over time. Front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive on the electric. But it'll be the first that I know of. I can't think of any others that will come with both CCS1 and Tesla's NACS, NACS J3400 to give it its proper name. And, you know, because of the new Hyundais, the IONIQ 5 and the IONIQ 9 coming out of Georgia, they are native NACS. But yeah, very interesting. The vehicle's right side is where I think they will both go. Probably under one big flippy flappy, right? Rather than doing it like the Audi e-tron, which was each side, which was very handy, by the way. The electric CLA has a 268 horsepower rear motor and a two-speed gearbox doing the Taycan thing. And there will be a 4MATIC version, of course, with a 107 horsepower front motor that will be only activated as needed. 85 kilowatt hour battery, 800 volt architecture. Add 186 miles of range in 10 minutes. Still that kind of good stuff. It'll launch in the US by late 2025 now. Polestar, the Swedish electric vehicle manufacturer, Polestar, is set to bring vehicle-to-grid technology to Australia! Following the approval of new standards that previously impeded its implementation, the technology has been tested on a smaller scale, but it's now ready for broader mainstream use. Of course, contingent upon consumer interest, but considering that you stole all of our sunshine this time of year, you think there'd be a very good reason to have solar and storage and an EV in your driveway that'll do vehicle to grid. Now, Scott Maynard is the managing director of Polestar Australia, confirmed that the Polestar 3 with its 111 kilowatt hour battery will support proper vehicle to grid, not just your vehicle to load or your vehicle to home stuff. The software to enable the feature will come in the third quarter of 2025 at the latest. V2G technology will offer benefits to a household backup, could get financial returns from the grid, of course make carbon savings as well. The company Red Earth announced plans to be the first local producer of V2G charging equipment in Australia. Polestar has been doing V2G trials with service providers and grid operators in Gothenburg in Sweden since last year, I think, anyway. So it's about time. We've been talking about vehicle to grid for the last 10 years. We've been doing it in Japan with CHAdeMO on the Leaf, post earthquake quakes and grid resiliency and all that kind of stuff. Let's get there. Let's move on with vehicle to home and vehicle to grid. Proper V2G though. Yeah, let's integrate it properly into the grid. Let's get some of those checks arriving with people who own the vehicles. Let's start to prove that it works at scale, and that will, I guarantee, change the conversation. Because until now, it's all, you know, could be, might be, should be, wanna be, maybe. But when it happens and it just works, it'll be amazing. And then your electricity company will send you some money or give you some discounts. And then we'll be able to point to all the people that say, well, I'm never driving an EV because the battery lasts 5 minutes and goes to landfill and they all explode. You can't move for burning EVs in the streets. It's another reason to go EV. Vehicle to grid. And those are the same people, by the way, that go, if we all drive EVs, the electricity grid will melt down, and then the little old lady that lives next door will be freezing cold, all because of electric vehicles. Oh, man. I probably read more of those comment sections than I should do. I never, ever reply to people, because, you know, they're just going to make me more stupid if I get into a bun fight with them. But still, I like reading the negative comments, just to see whether the narrative is of a certain part of the population, as it were. That sounds a bit sniffy, doesn't it? I should probably move on. Right, let's talk about a campaign to tackle EV misinformation. Auto Trader, the UK's biggest online car marketplace, teaming up with Charge UK, that's the industry body for the charging industry, and the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, SMMT, effectively the car industry, but the lobby organisation that talks on their behalf, aimed at correcting misinformation about EVs in the UK. Or is it disinformation? Is it darker than misinformation? This effort is backed by the Department for Transport and seeks to clear up any myths by sharing accurate details about electric vehicles. Because that's how you fight the idiots. You supply them with truth, isn't it? Everybody knows that the way to win an argument in the YouTube or Facebook comment section is just to deliver the truth and the hard facts. And those people are well known for going, my fault, you're right, you're absolutely right, sorry, my bad, no, my bad, you know, you're right about EVs, no, I was completely wrong, they're not all burning up in the streets, no, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's what works. Auto Trader's research found that many UK customers have incorrect about electric vehicles, such as the belief that they all catch on fire within 5 minutes of driving down the road. The campaign features a poster and detailed information on Auto Trader's website to answer key questions from potential EV buyers. It covers pricing, reduced running costs, and the decreasing price difference between new EVs and traditional internal combustion engines, emphasising the increasing availability of public charging, which now numbers over 71,400 public EV chargers in the UK. The campaign also addresses misconceptions about EV batteries with reliable data on battery range, reliability, and the low risk of EV fires compared to driving a vehicle around with a tank of very highly combustible fluid that has become the norm for the last 100 years. Previous studies show that 72% of surveyed consumers have heard a myth about EV fires, and 44% believe it. And that, I think, is the key to this misinformation campaign, is that 44% number. Right, so when the number is at 5 or 10%, I say ignore them, right? Because there's always going to be a subsection of the population that like conspiracy theories. And there'll always be people that are waiting for the invasion of the little green men, or the people that think, you know, the government is both equally massively incompetent whilst at the same time running a high-tech deep state surveillance situation, but also the government being useless at the same time. So, like, I don't want to fight these people because their worldview in their head is correct, and who knows why people think the things they do. It could just be to feel better about something, or to feel better about themselves or their world or their life or whatever. I think when you start to push back to people, that's when the defences go up, and also you can seem, you know, to come across, like I say before, as a bit sniffy, a bit arrogant, a bit superior, a bit intellectual. But when those myths can become pervasive and the generally accepted truth, then it's probably time to start doing stuff like that. Dispelling myths is crucial for boosting EV adoption. I don't worry about it. I don't go into the comment sections. I don't try and change people's minds. Whatever you think about EVs, you think about EVs, right? And you know, you're here to listen to this podcast. I can see from the download numbers that the podcast is growing, but I'm under no illusions that you and I are more likely to think similarly. I mean, not about everything, but in terms of EVs, renewable, sustainability, things like that, unless you are here to, you know, to learn about the other side, as it were, and you vehemently disagree with it, which is again fine. I'd say that we're probably a group of people who are quite like-minded. Half the audience are in the US, a big audience in the UK, big audience in Australia, for instance. And so, you know, we're spread all over the world. Politically, we're probably all different. Culturally, we're all different. But we all share a common interest of the culture that we talk about on this show. And so I don't fight with those that don't think like you and I. But this new campaign is probably necessary. And I'll support it, you know, if I can and I can do my own small bit. Right, we'll be back in a second. And we'll talk about Rivian going on tour and the Kia EV9. Stick around, back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. So if you'd like to save even more time in your day, and let's face it, we're all blinking busy, aren't we? Then go to Patreon. You get your own unique RSS feed. You copy-paste that into your podcast app, your weapon of choice, as it were, and then you get an ad-free feed. It's that simple. Right, let's talk about major UK companies in the UK. OVO, SSE, BT, which is British Telecom, BT Openreach, urging the government not to waver on EV targets. This push comes as many of the car makers, with 6 weeks to go until the end of the year, are now saying to the UK government, whoa, hang on a minute, fines for missing the EV targets? No one told us this. We can't possibly do it by the end of the year. Had years of notice, but never mind about that. In contrast, car makers are seeking more lenient rules, citing the financial strains and the tribulations around electric vehicles. They plan discussions this week with the Transport Secretary, Louise Hague, and the Business Secretary, Jonathan Reynolds, about consumer demand issues. Reports include Nissan being one of the most prominent names, despite the big Sunderland plant in the northeast here making the Leaf and the Ariya, saying that Nissan's at crisis point and that they will end up paying fines for not making enough electric vehicles, which is called many things in this country, the ZEV mandate, the ZEV mandate, call it that if you will. And they have to sell 22% of vehicle sales, each car company does, to be zero emissions this year. It'll be 80% by 2030, maybe more, by the way, with the new Labour government. Alex Thwaites from OVO argues that the ZEV mandate brings certainty for drivers and the industry. Easing the mandate would ease the immediate pressure on manufacturers. The CFO would be delighted. They'll have an extra big turkey this Christmas around the boardroom table because it would give them an easy time to not pay the fines that, like I say, they've known about for years. If you want to not pay the fines, you could always make more EVs. I mean, it is a crazy idea, I know. And yet there are certain companies that are doing fine and are making lots of EVs, the Teslas and Polestars of the world, the pure EV companies, that are then selling those credits to other car companies because it's cheaper than paying £15,000-£16,000 per vehicle that you miss the mandate by. There is no justification for tinkering with this tool that's put the UK in the fast lane of the global EV transition. Our EV sales had the record in October, the best ever, 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 ever in the history of all time in the UK. More EVs were sold last month, and yet the headlines around the EV dream is over, the crisis continues. Again, I see these things, I don't know where they come from, but that you can't do any better than coming off last month's figures being an all-time record in this country for pure BEV sales. I literally don't. There's nothing more you can do apart from, you know, be Norway. So we'll wait and see if the government do waver on that and listen to pressure from the car industry. Rivian's going on tour. They are revealing their North American tour. Not playing the greatest hits set, though. They're not taking the R1 vehicles out. They're going to go play the new stuff, the new album. Rivian are going on tour with the R2 and the R3X. These models are going to be on display at various US and Canadian auto shows. This follows Rivian expanding their site in Normal, Illinois to get ready to make the R2 production. Tim Fallon is Rivian's VP of Manufacturing, saying in July that the R2 has got over 100,000 pre-orders since March. Going to be hitting places like California, Vancouver, Portland, New York, Nashville, Austin and Boston. Boston? And Kia, part of Hyundai Motor Group, of course, is cutting back on the US production of the EV9 because of new regulations and is part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And if you're thinking, hang on a minute, the new administration doesn't take... The moving in trucks don't arrive to the 20th of January... It's nothing to do with the incoming administration. The Inflation Reduction Act has an increasing percentage of battery production, assembly, components, and that's a scale that goes up. So every year, on January the 1st, different vehicles will have access to the federal tax credit, unless it gets binned off on January 20th. It was always an increasing scale. We don't talk about that on the podcast enough, do we? We should do, to get the full $7,500 federal tax credit. The EV9 battery cells are made in Korea's SK On factory, and I think this also comes through China as well, so it's only eligible for half of the IRA tax credit anyway. So the EV9 is being wound down for now in the US. Otherwise, it'll get less. Kia have traditionally, and Hyundai, done their own $7,500 credit, which of course hits their bottom line. They are building a battery cell plant in Georgia with a 35 gigawatt hour capacity for 500,000 EVs annually, located near Hyundai and Kia's Georgia operations. Also working with LG for another plant in Georgia as well. So it is coming, but they're just dialing it back for now until they can get those batteries fully compliant. And that's your podcast for today. Thank you for listening, as always, and supporting the show via our Patreon pages, which you can do at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. You get your podcasts ad-free, like I say, and you can be part of an awesome community on Patreon. The question I'm asking you at the moment on Patreon, it may be open to the public, maybe just Patreon paid and free members. I'll double check what I clicked. If you see anything online on YouTube of a show like this, of a talking head, somebody looking at a camera, I'm looking for studio ideas. I'm thinking maybe some wooden slats on the wall, maybe some dark paint. Go a bit moody. I don't know. If you see anything that you think, oh, that would look cool, send it in. Because over the Christmas period, the holidays, when I take a break, I won't be stopping work. After 4.5 years since the pandemic, when we built this studio at the bottom of the garden, it's time to refurb it. And it's time to have an all new look and turn the cameras back on and all that kind of stuff, because it is all a bit of a mess in here at the moment. All set up for audio only. And so, asking our patrons if you see anything like that online, any interesting vibes or YouTube channels which are cool, send it in, and I'll have a look and get some inspiration. Our premium partners are Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.